As we enter a time of prayer, I want to bring your attention to our two prayer quilts this morning. When you leave the sanctuary this morning, please stop, tie a knot in the quilt, say a prayer, and sign their card so they know we are holding them in prayer. Will you pray with me? We come to you in prayer, Lord, with joyful hearts. Resting in your presence today fills us anew. Our spirits are lifted. We come to you in prayer, Lord, with thankful hearts. Grateful for the blessings in our lives, we know that every gift we receive is evidence of your generous love. We come to you in prayer, Lord, with heavy hearts. Forgive us for carrying our worries alone. We remember your promises now and cast our concerns on you. Help us, oh, help us to not pick them up again. Our world needs your love and light in so many places. Your children who need clean water and healthy food. Your children who battle disease or addiction or war or injustice. Keep your hand ever present to bring reconciliation, understanding, health, and love to victory. We ask now for your blessing on your church, its leaders who are away at conference, all of us here today, as well as those not sitting here. We seek special healing and mercy on Lizzie and Peter, as well as all of those on our hearts and those named in the bulletin. And now in this moment of quiet and stillness, we pour out the desires and concerns on our hearts. Now let us lift our voices up together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? I figure if I loosen you up a little bit, you'll talk back to me. Did anybody see Muhammad Ali's funeral? Okay, I won't be that long. I would like to thank Dr. Sherry Parker and her staff and all these amazing women for inviting me here today. It's always fun to be invited somewhere. And the reason I'm only going to be half that long is because I wanted to be invited back. I want to thank members from my church, St. James, for being here with us this morning. And we want to thank God for allowing the light to shine throughout this community. How many of you had graduates yesterday or new graduates? My graduate is right back there. Cynthia. She graduated yesterday from Brighton High School. We're very, very proud of her. So I thank God again for you allowing me to be here. Will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, you are so awesome. You're so wonderful. You're so great. Father, we magnify your holy name. We ask that now you send your Holy Spirit to rule and reign over these words. Let me not be in the way of anything that will stop your people from hearing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would just like to talk to you for a few minutes about Be the Light. It's amazing to me how God winds everything together. A couple of months ago, because these women are so organized, they said, well, you know, if you're coming, what are you going to preach about? And I'm thinking, I usually don't know that till like Wednesday before Sunday. And they asked me that 2 months ago, so I just cheated and pulled some thing out of the hat and said, I don't know, be the light, you know. They actually expected me to preach that then. And look how everything came together. Hasn't it been wonderful? I thank you so much. I thank the choir. I especially thank our pianist, because that song, Sia Hamba, is the song that we walk in the African Methodist Episcopal Church on our annual conference Sunday together. And it's amazing how all of that happens. I know that one of the women heard that as she did mission work in Africa, Suzanne, and she didn't know. We sing that all the time. So that's a wonderful thing. And Heather is here. I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, even though my church is here. And I worked on diabetes, which she's going to be working on in Liberia. And that's a wonderful thing for God to just put his stamp on everything and bring it all together. This is how our faith works as well. If we are to be the light, we need to understand that. Our faith is not like any other faith. Our faith is transparent and transformational. Our faith is an amazing faith. Our faith is the faith that calls us to shout down walls and part red seas. Our faith is amazing. Look at your neighbor right now and say, our faith. Go ahead, look at your neighbor and say, our faith. See, when you invite somebody from somewhere else, sometimes you have to do something different, because faith will cause you to do that. I'm sure you do different things in Liberia than you do right here in Brighton. We have to trust God to loosen us up and allow us to be that way so that we can be the light in the world. Our faith is what helps us to do that. I teach the Bible all the time. I teach the Word of God, and I enjoy that. But the thing that fascinates me the most about the Word of God is that the very first time that we ever hear God speak, he does not say, love your neighbor. He does not say, have peace, have joy. He doesn't even say, be kind to your enemies. He doesn't say, love your wife, love your husband. He says, be the light. The first thing God ever says when we ever hear his voice in Genesis 1:3, check it out. If you do not believe me, he says, be the light. Faith requires light, and God always turns on the light before he does anything else. I truly understand light probably even better than most, because I have a degenerative eye disease, and I can't see without great deals of light. People say, you drive and you do this. I don't know how God does it. If there's any doctors in the room, I have an eye disease called keratoconus, and my corneas are shaped like cones, whereas everyone else's are shaped like balls. And so it's like a camera flash. If you don't have the light, the picture comes out dark. And so light has always been an important thing to me since I was diagnosed with this illness. My son, who is now 26, I was diagnosed when he was 2. And so I've had this for a long time, and I understand the importance of light. My son will say, do you need all that light? And I say, yes, I do. Our faith, at least as I can speak for myself, and I hope I can speak for you, this faith that Jesus has placed within us, the gospel has taught us to learn that we live now in dark times. We don't want to say that. We don't like saying that. We don't like facing the fact that we live in dark times, but we do. We live in dark times. We live in times when we can't always allow our kids to even go down the halls at a hotel by themselves. We live in dark times of immorality and racism and materialism and jealousy and envy, and God help us, a presidential race. We live in dark times, and in the midst of darkness, this truth remains. Jesus still saves. even through the darkness, Jesus still saves. And we are so happy to know that Jesus has saved us. Jesus saves. And we also know that no matter what's going on, he is coming back again. Amen? He's coming back again. I don't know why the criminals forget that. I don't know why the government forgets that. I don't know why some people we work with forget that. Sometimes we got to remind them, remember, Jesus is coming back again. You are not getting away with that. And I'm sorry, because I take this stuff seriously. I have to apologize sometimes to people for that, because I get to be a little much, you know? But I apologize if I'm not all dainty and cute. But I feel compelled and moved by the power that God has put in me to scream sometimes. I know that Jesus saved me, and God help me, I'm going to help him save you. Amen? We need to be the light. And I've been ordered by God. If we believe in everlasting to everlasting, then you must know that I've been ordered by God to preach here today. Before they ever thought of my name, before they ever knew me, before my mother met my father, before this building was even here, God knew that I would stand here and have to talk about being the light. So somehow in God's divine wisdom, he understood that we needed to hear it, that we need to be reminded, because we already know it, but we sometimes have to be reminded about those things we already know about. The Bible says, you over there, all of y'all, everybody, you are the light of the world. You are. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how many of y'all feel a little salty right now? It is no longer good for anything if you lose your saltiness, except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. A lamp on a stand and a bowl. Any questions? It's so important that we understand, if you open a Bible, these words are in red. They were put there by Jesus the Christ, your Savior, the guy you talk to every day. He wanted you to understand who you are. You and I are blessed to be the light. We are blessed to be the light. We are blessed to be the light. I mean, if you actually think about that and put that into your head to understand the first thing Jesus ever said, God ever said, he said, be the light, let there be light. And then he proceeded to make night and day. He told us that we are the light of this world. So we are blessed to be the light. And listen, when light stands next to darkness, it always wins. I like people who want to win. Amen. We all want to win. We serve a risen Savior who already won. We are his light. What defines you? You should not allow anybody else to define you. You're not defined by any failure you ever had, any failure you're going through, any trouble that you're experiencing. You are not defined by anything except Jesus Christ. You are only defined by God. He is the one that blew into you in Genesis 2 and 7, the breathing that you breathe every day. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He allowed you to know that you were you when you opened your eyes. He is the one who defined you. You are defined by Jesus, not the United States government who is trying to redefine you. Amen? You are defined by Jesus Christ. And we are not just another institution in society. In this critical time, in this world, we are to respond with great clarity. And we are to shout, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. You should never be ashamed to repeat anything Jesus said. He said you are the light of the world. He said your light would not be under a bowl. He said you should not be hidden. And you need to say it too. Amen? We are prophets. We are evangelists. We are preachers and teachers. We are mothers and fathers. We are students. We are on our way to wherever Jesus is sending us, including Liberia. And Jesus, who died and rose, said, we are the salt and the light. Amen. Nobody else can take that away from you. We are the salt and the light. We are the children of God's cross. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. We need to be proud of that. We need to be holy and sanctified and loving when we share it. But we need to know it and we need to share it. We need to know who we are. The first thing you start telling your baby, your grandbaby, when you get a grandbaby, you say, I'm grandmama. I'm Grammy. You plan what you're going to tell the baby to call you. You want that baby to know who you are. Amen? Because it's important. And you need to know who you are. We are God's children. And we are not defined by any circumstances. We're not even defined by the Christian acts that we do. We are defined by Christ Jesus. And he is the one who has made plans for us. You're not defined by anything because you have been forgiven and you are being allowed to walk on this earth because of his grace and mercy. We are world-changing folk. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We are history makers. We are not Ford. We are not GM. And contrary to what many of us think, we are not Spartans or Wolverines. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are the church. This is what Jesus is coming back to get. He's coming back to get his church. And when everything I know tells me that he's not coming to get some broken down, beat up old bride, he's coming to get his beautiful, glorious, beautiful church. That's what he's coming back to get. We are born again. We've been washed in the blood. We are born again, blood-washed children of God. Wow. Doesn't that get you excited? That ought to get you excited. And you need to be light. Be light by being who you are. You don't ever want to try to be somebody else. Baby, what's your name? Kate. Y'all can't sing like Kate. Try to sing like Kate. Amen? Kate sings like Kate. We can't be in the choir all the time. Maybe we can't play the piano. Maybe we don't know how to run these microphones. But whatever it is that you are supposed to be doing, you need to get busy doing it. You need to be the light. If you're complacent today, you will be held captive tomorrow. Christianity is not comfortable. People think, you know, that you like putting on a robe and you like this. Listen, this is not a great job. I know people think that, but it's not a great job. It might have been 50 years ago, but people don't have respect for preachers like they used to. I mean, who does that preacher think she is? She just like everybody else, blah, blah, blah. And yes, I am. Do not hold me to a higher standard. Amen? I am a sinner saved by grace just like you, and I need to be the light as well. But if you know better, you're supposed to do better. Amen? So once you've been to a few Sunday school classes and some Bible studies, straighten up and be the light. I know that there are spirits out there. There are ugly spirits out there that want to instill in us a spirit of fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. And those spirits of Goliath or Absalom or Herod that are out there, we need to move them on out the way, because we have a greater spirit that we know is out there, right? We live by his precious Holy Spirit, the spirit who reigns in Liberia, the spirit who reigns in France, the spirit who reigns in Indiana, the spirit who reigns in Illinois, the spirit who saved them in Flint, the spirit in Brighton, Michigan, the spirit in Ann Arbor, the spirit in Ypsilanti, the spirit wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is there. That's the spirit that should rule us. Amen? No spirit is greater than God's Holy Spirit. And I don't care what's in front of me. God's Holy Spirit is right beside me. And God has his arms all around me. I know that's true, because he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And he hasn't. He's never left you either. Because remember all that junk you was worried about last year? You remember that stuff you did that you was hoping nobody found out about? And you still sitting here, and nobody's kicked you out the church or anything. That's God and his grace and mercy and his powerful Holy Spirit allowing you another chance to be the light. God wants us to be the light. He's moving everywhere, and he needs us to move as well. He needs us to speak up and say so. Let somebody know you're saved. Let somebody know you love him. Let somebody know that you are a child of the great King. Let somebody know that Jesus is your brother, that he is your friend. As light, we stand. We know that Christ lives. We stand like he says the light should be on a stand. And you are able to stand. If I told you all to stand up right now, you could. Amen? Even if you need some help, even if you're lying down, you can stand up on the inside and let somebody know how powerful a Christian you are. This world needs to know that we are Christians and we are not afraid to stand on what God has told us to stand for. There's one way. You know, I get in trouble all the time because I talk too much. I know y'all want me to hurry up and finish right now. But let me tell you this. I do not apologize for telling people, no matter how upset they get in liberal Ann Arbor, there are not 17,000 ways to heaven. There's not 20,000 ways to heaven. There's not 10 ways to heaven. There are not 7 ways to heaven. There are not 5 ways to heaven. There is one way to heaven. And as Christians, we ought not be afraid to say so. We should never be afraid to say what we believe. Everybody else says what they believe, don't they? But yet and still, we're supposed to be squelched. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I believe he is the truth, the way, and the life. I believe it because he said so. And I believe everything he says. So I believe that. We need to believe that. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with letting somebody know that's what you believe. I have great friends that don't believe that. And I, just like the Spartans, they believe they're better, and I let them believe that. I live in Michigan. We know better. So if you know better, it's okay to still share with other people. Amen? Amen. There's one way, and that way is Jesus the Christ. I know we have to all get along. I know we have friends that don't believe like we do, and I know we love them and invite them over and everything else. But it's okay if the subject comes up to say, you know what? I believe this. You might be the only chance they ever get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all you got to say is, I believe this. I believe Jim Harbaugh is great. Amen. He is the Lord. God Almighty Jesus is. And he wants us to understand that he is the way. So stand up, people, and tell somebody. It is required of you by the word of your Almighty God. That you be the light, that you be the light in the earth. So stand up and be the light. Stand up, everybody, stand up. Stand up and say, I'll be the light. I'll be the light. Jesus made you be the light. He said for you to be the light. And so I ask for you today, when you go out here, make sure your light is shining so much that somebody needs to put on some sunglasses. Make sure somebody knows that you love Jesus Christ and that you're willing to be the light for him. Thank you.
Amen and amen.